The skincare industry wasn't built for everyone. So what happens when someone decides to change that? Today, I'm talking to the Dr. Vinita Ratan. She's a doctor, cosmetic formulator, and the expert in skin of color about the biggest myths, dangerous skincare trends, and what the beauty industry still isn't getting right. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming. I think just for our audience who don't know you, small amount of followers, what are your qualifications and how did you get into being a doctor, cosmetic formula, the whole thing?
Okay, so, well, I did medicine first of all at UCL. Yeah. And actually, I started getting early melasma in my 20s. And I remember thinking there were cute freckles. And my mum goes, no, Vinita, that's early melasma. And I was like, what's melasma? So it's hyperpigmentation that happens, starts on the cheekbones 80% of the time, and then it spreads to the rest of the face. And this is the number one skincare concern for skin of color. So when I started to investigate treatments, I realized all the treatments were formulated by Caucasians for Caucasians. Mm. And Caucasian skin is different to skin of color. The reason is that our skin, we have large melanocytes, the cells that produce the pigment melanin, and they are easily triggered. Right. So I always say one scratch, one bite, or one burn, and we hyperpigment.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at these treatments. There's a lot of chemical peels, there's harsh acids, there's hydroquinone. And again, hydroquinone, a lot of the clinical studies were done on Caucasian skin and then sort of exported to the rest of the world. Mm. And our skin behaves differently. So there was no treatment that was formulated specifically for us. And my mum was also had her own laboratory. And so I thought, let me learn from her cosmetic formulator and figure out if I can treat myself. So we really started off with a specific problem for me. Mm-hmm. And it took me about 5 years, actually, of iterating, because what I learned very quickly was that there were no clinical studies on, say, retinol for skin of color. So say, for example, you needed to make a retinol for skin of color. What percentage would you use? Would it be encapsulated or not?
I have no idea.
What would be the dispersion? Yeah. You wouldn't know because there are no clinical studies ever done on it. So I literally had to start from the beginning and go, right, we're going to now make a retinol serum. Should we do 0.1%, then 0.2%, then 0.3%? Now, what percent are we burning?
Right.
And then I would combine it with the niacinamide. Then I combine it with different actives until I got to a formula which treated hyperpigmentation without irritating the skin.
Okay.
So that's what took the longest amount of time. But now we're in a situation where I have my lab, I have the information, and actually any treatments that I want to make, it takes me a day to make. So it feels a bit unfair that at the beginning there was so much, you know, difficulty to get here, but now it's...
But why do you think the beauty industry still gets it wrong? Like, why is skincare for skin of color so ignored?
I think what has happened is if you yourself are not suffering with the problem, you can't see the problem. Mm. And so the majority of cosmetic formulators were from Europe. And so it wasn't an issue that they struggled with. Mm. And so if you don't struggle with it, how would you know even what to formulate? So for example, for black males, one of their biggest concerns are ingrown hairs from shaving. But if you're a white female, you wouldn't even know that was an issue, let alone that you had to formulate something for it. And how do you even start that? And is it even worth it? That's the other thing, is it worth it for you if you don't suffer with that particular concern? So there's a bit of a bias just by the person who is doing the formulating. That's why it's important that I had to, first of all, educate myself on skin of color. It's not because I'm brown, I know what skin of color needs. I had to educate myself on it and then formulate for it.
Because you could have worked with big skincare brands. You could have gone to a L'Oreal or tried to, but you decided to take it into your own hands.
First of all, I don't work very well with bosses. So that's the honest truth. Like, I can't even take my parents telling me what to do. So I think let's start with that.
Yeah.
But also, I'm really quite strong-minded in what I think needs to be created and pushing myself to limits to make that thing happen. So it's a very entrepreneurial mindset. I think, you know, everyone's got different personalities. Some personalities work really well in an organization. Mine wouldn't. That's why I don't think anyone should ever buy my company, because I would work well with anyone.
Like, moving on to this, a lot of misinformation. Like, one of your biggest channels is TikTok.
Yeah.
What is the worst skincare hack you've seen online that could actually damage skin of color?
Oh, there are so many. I mean, do you remember the one with the glycolic acid on the armpits?
No,
do you remember that? Oh, that's a huge trend. Everyone's doing glycolic acid on the armpits. And I did a TikTok where I showed the different temperatures of glycolic acid and how the pH changes. So under your armpit, it becomes hotter. What happens to acid when it heats up? It becomes much stronger.
Right.
And now you are burning your armpit. Oh, Exactly. And for skin of color, they were leading to hyperpigmentation. So they thought they were brightening the armpit, but actually it was darkening the armpit, leading to hyperpigmentation over a period of time. So that was just one of many, many.
And there are still there are so many.
I mean, there are so many,
which is part of your job.
Exactly.
And which skincare ingredient is getting way too much hype right now?
Oh, my goodness. You know what really annoys me the most is when I see like foundations that are really skincare and all they've put in is hyaluronic acid. Right. I find that so irritating. And also, I feel like people are too educated for that now. Mm. Hyaluronic acid is just a humectant. It's a water magnet. It holds water in that top layer of skin, just like glycerin. Mm-hmm. But honestly, every foundation should have some form of humectant in it. It's like nothing special. So I think I really don't like it when the audience is duped into thinking something's really special, but it's not. Like something hyaluronic acid sounds so exciting, but it's really nothing special. Magnificent. Yeah, it's right. Just a humectant.
And which ingredient deserves more attention?
The new ingredient, I think, on the market right now are the exosomes, and I'm actually loving those, working with them, playing with them in my lab at the moment.
So what do they do?
Exosomes. So exosomes basically regenerate everything. So they will help you with scarring. They'll help you with hair regrowth. They help with skin texture. So they are very powerful regenerative ingredients. And then you have others, which, you know, is new but comes and goes. So that one I really like. I also really like ectoin as well.
So exosomes.
Exosomes. Ectoin. You're going to see exosomes and ectoin more in the future, I think.
In terms of toxic ingredients or products, if you could ban one skincare product or ingredient from ever being sold, what would it be?
Toxic. Now, I think this is where it gets a bit, it goes blurred. Wrong. I'm going to be completely honest. There's a lot of fear mongering that happens on social media, okay? Mm. There, you can't sell a toxic product. We have to pass something called CPSRs, right? Those are your safety assessment reports. You physically cannot sell something that's toxic. Mm-hmm. Where it goes wrong is where the barrier has broken. So, for example, did you hear about the hair relaxers for black hair and how it was penetrating into the bloodstream, leading to infertility and cancer?
God, okay.
So the reason for that is because the skin barrier is broken. Mm-hmm. And you have far higher percentage entering into the bloodstream than if it was normal skin. So that's where something can go wrong. But actual toxic products cannot be sold. So if the barrier is intact, we do tests to make sure that those ingredients at those percentages are safe. Mm-hmm. And then you're allowed to proceed.
What about the ingredients that are carcinogens?
You illegal. You wouldn't be able to put them into a product. Okay. So I think this is where it... It's so easy with 30-second bite-size reels to fear-monger on anything. So, you know, the whole natural versus chemical, everything is a chemical. Yeah. Everything is a chemical. Our hair is a chemical. Our skin is a chemical. Water is H2O. Everything is a chemical. So what do you mean when you say not chemicals? I want something without. What does that mean? Not even air. It's O2. Like, which bit is not a chemical?
Yeah.
So everything can be twisted and there can be a lot of fear-mongering. I talk about what should be safe for skin of color, meaning minimize your chances of reactions. So for skin of color, our biggest concern is if we react, we will get hyperpigmentation. And the problem for us is hyperpigmentation can last for decades, right? So I would say, for example, avoid fragrance in your skincare. It's not that you're going to die by having fragrance in your skincare. It's not toxic. But what it is it leads to contact dermatitis in 3-4% of the population. So if you imagine for me, I have about 2-3 million people watching my content daily. So if I have 3-4% of them getting reactions every day, that's tens of thousands of people getting reactions every day based off of what I have said. Yeah. So I have to be very careful with making sure the things that I'm recommending are going to be safe for skin of color and not lead to reactions.
And speaking of safety, a lot of people still think skin of color doesn't need SPF.
I know, that's crazy.
Why is this such a dangerous myth?
Okay, so I'll tell you where it goes wrong. Skin of color has a natural SPF of about 7. That's very low. It's so low, you can't even buy a sunscreen of SPF 7, right? But it does mean that we have a tiny bit more protection than Caucasian skin because of that SPF 7. But we get hyperpigmentation fast. We get hyperpigmentation much quicker than Caucasian skin. So for us, if you don't want to be getting these dark marks that just fly all over your face, it happens. And then it's so difficult to treat. Prevention is always better than cure when it comes to skincare. And our children, I think, are not going to be suffering from what we've suffered from. I think melasma is going to be is not a big of a problem for our children, because from 6 months old, we're putting sunscreen on them. Yeah. For us, I didn't start wearing sunscreen until I was in my mid-20s.
No, exactly.
And only on holiday.
I used to, like, go on holiday and put factor two oil.
Oh, my God. Seriously. Yeah. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, my God.
I know.
So I think slowly it's changing through education.
Yeah.
You know, the next generation are a whole other kettle of fish, right? Yeah. They're not like our parents' generation. The kids are in Sephora. My daughter knows all the latest products, all the viral products. And she's like, Mommy, what do you think about this? She's sending me videos to react to now.
Oh, funny.
That's how she's 11.
Yeah.
So
they're self-educating.
Honestly, they're a different breed. So I don't think we're going to have that issue with them.
I mean, with the self-education, a lot of people are using the right ingredients, but they're not seeing the right results. Like, what is going on?
So it depends on what the concern is, right? Mm-hmm. So I've treated hyperpigmentation from head to toe in my clinic. And the hardest pigmentation to treat would be dark circles of the whole body, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the thing with dark circles is it tends to be hereditary, especially if you have skin of color. It tends to take about a year to see results, one full year to start seeing results. And that's if you're being really obsessive with your your products.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is most people will not wait that long to see any results. For melasma, I'd say about 6 months of being consistent and applying your sunscreen every 2 hours, obsessively, you know, and it's
a real game of patience.
It's almost like, don't do it. Don't even bother buying the products or the ingredients or anything if you're not going to commit.
Okay.
I think that's a really important thing to know, because you're going into a relationship with your kid.
I think it's the same with the tech, the LED mask hype. It's just you have to commit 2-3 times a week to actually see the results, which sadly I just do.
It's actually not good for melasma. I don't like the LED mask for melasma for skin of color.
Okay.
It can worsen melasma.
Really?
Because it's energy. Any form of energy, even visible light, infrared, so heat. If you're, for example, steaming and you open the steamer and you've got steam hitting your face, that can worsen your melasma. Any form of energy can trigger your melanocytes.
I was using LED masks to treat my
I would avoid
pigmentation.
That.
Okay,
yeah,
so
no,
don't do
that for skin of color.
Okay,
avoid it.
Noted. Treatments. When we go into aesthetic treatments, do all treatments work for skin of color? Which ones don't? Which ones should be avoided?
For a professional grade?
Yeah.
Ooh, so I've got something really exciting coming, actually.
Okay.
I went to South Africa, I don't know if you saw, and I did a lecture to about 300 of our followers, and a lot of them own spas. Mm. And the questions I got asked were, Dr. V, which peels are safe for skin of color? Which lasers are safe for skin of color? And actually, there's never been a facial made for skin of color.
No.
It doesn't exist. It's insane to me that it doesn't exist. And so when I found that out, I came back and immediately went to the lab and we started formulating our facial designed specifically for skin of color. Because again, our actors are different, percentages are different. So this will be launching, I think, in about 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, there aren't any professional grade treatments designed specifically for skin of color. It would be, oh, this is for all skin types.
Mm.
But actually, Caucasians need different actives to skin of color. We've got different concerns. Caucasians get fine lines much faster. Skin of color gets hyperpigmentation first.
Okay.
It's totally different. The pHs our skin can handle are different. The hydration levels of our skin are different.
I'm so confused. I'm so tired. So much.
You've done a lot of podcasts today. That's
no, I know. But yeah, I guess it's always just take a step back.
Yeah.
Really, really go to the professionals.
Yeah. You understand your skin, and it's not difficult. I've made over 1,000 YouTube videos, right? You just have to watch one or two of them to know what is good for your skin and what's not good for your skin. And they're non-sponsored. So I don't accept payment from anyone ever.
Yeah.
So you can even go and see, okay, I've gone and bought, this week I've just released an Innisfree K-Beauty video.
Yeah.
So you can see, okay, shall I buy this, shall I not buy this, et cetera. So okay. I've done the work for you, so you don't have to do too much thinking.
Is there one skincare product that you're okay naming that skin of color should never buy?
I hate glycolic acid.
Glycolic acid.
I know, and I know it caused a lot of problems and people don't like me saying it, but I really don't like it for skin of color because we have better options.
Okay.
AHAs, we have lactic acid, mandelic acid. Why use glycolic acid? Glycolic acid is a tiny molecule. It penetrates very quickly and can lead to hot spots. burn the skin.
Right.
So for mandelic acid, it's a large molecule. It can take 10 hours for it to penetrate the skin. Lactic acid is slightly smaller, but it's a humectant. It's even better for us. Right. So when I created Axfoliator, I had the option of every single acid. Which one am I going to pick? Obviously, I'm going to go for lactic plus mandelic for skin of color.
Yeah.
Why would you ever go for glycolic as your option? It just doesn't. If you're formulating for skin of color, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Lactic or mandelic?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. If someone only has £30 to spend on skincare, which three products could they invest in? Is that even possible?
Yeah, of course. So I think the most important thing is going to be your sunscreen. I prefer mineral sunscreen over a chemical sunscreen.
Because
it's anti-inflammatory. So zinc oxide at 17% is anti-inflammatory. So if you have rosacea, if you have hyperpigmentation, if you have any form of irritation on the skin, zinc oxide itself is anti-inflammatory. Forget all the other ingredients. I would also love sunscreens that have other actives in them. So, for example, in our Inzincable, I made it a mineral sunscreen because there wasn't one for skin of color that gave no white cast.
Yeah.
But I also put in stem cells, so Melashield, which was anti-hyperpigmentation stem cells, put in niacinamide, blue shield protection. So additional actives that you find in a product help to boost that particular product rather than like the basics.
Okay.
Having said this, I would rather you picked any SPF rather than not wear an SPF. Right, so even if it's a cheap one that you get from Boots and it's a chemical sunscreen, I'd rather you wore that than nothing. It's just my preference for skin of color would be mineral. So with a very cheap routine, I start off with your simple micellar gel wash.
Mm-hmm.
It's hydrating. There's no other actives in it, but it's not going to strip your skin. I would go in with your CeraVe moisturizer if you have normal combination skin. And then you would go with any SPF 50 that you want from your local drugstore.
Right.
Like that itself is enough to give you protection. You're not going to get any additional benefits of anti-aging, anti-pigmentation, but it's prevention is better than cure. So that's actually quite a decent routine.
Are you comfortable to share what is your personal skincare routine?
The thing is, I'm a difficult person to ask because I manufacture my own skincare for myself. So even when I made the Daily Range, which is what I use, it's like a six-piece kit, your double cleanse, hydrating toner, my retinol serum, my exfoliator, CeraPep moisturizer, and Inzincable. When I made that, it didn't even come in this beautiful packaging.
But you don't use any other brands?
Not for my skin.
Not
but,
for your skin.
But even if I like something, like for example, I made a pregnancy serum recently, right? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't called the pregnancy serum when I made it. It was just a vitamin C serum I made in the lab for my face, right? And I used that for about a year. And then I thought, this is actually the perfect anti-aging product for pregnancy. It's got no vitamin A in it.
Mm.
So I made it for pregnancy.
Okay.
But actually, I've got a ton of products that I make in the lab that I haven't put a market, that I haven't told anyone about, just because also I like have so much fun there. So it's like, for me, it's just experimenting. Like, for example, next week I'm going to Italy for Cosmoprof.
Yeah.
So that's the largest exhibition for professional grade beauty. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go and look at the different technologies that are happening, what's new, what's latest, and then replicate it in my lab to see, can I do this? Like, what can I not do? What ingredients do I need? What's going to be really good for skin of color? And only the best of the best of the best will I even talk about on my social media. Yeah. There's so much I don't even talk about that's happening.
What is your best-selling product and why?
Inzincable, for sure. So Inzincable,
the SPF.
Yeah, SPF. Just because it's the world's only mineral sunscreen with no white cast for hyperpigmentation for skin of color.
Mm.
So again, I made it for my face. So I get melasma. It sounds like a very niche product, right?
Like everybody.
But everyone has it.
Yeah.
Anyone with skin of color has this issue, but it sounds like a niche product. And I think that's why it did so well. And so many people used it that it just became like first mover advantage.
Mm.
So even if more people come up with mineral sunscreens in the future, if you've been using mine for a long time, you just love it.
It's the iconic original.
It's just your go-to. I think that's what happened.
I mean, big beauty brands are finally talking about inclusivity, but are they actually reformulating or is it just marketing?
Oh God, it's just marketing. Dr. Barbara Sturm, I made a video dissecting every single one of her products for darker skin.
Mm.
And it was a horror show.
Oh, no.
Every single product was horrendous for us. It was not formulated for us. And it just like, I was ruthless with it because I was so annoyed. If you're going to put skin of color on there, expect me to be strict with you.
Yeah.
It's better to just say it's for all skin types and then I'll give you a bit of leeway. But if you're targeting skin of color, I have very high standards for my skin of color family.
Mm.
And actually, they know the standards. They themselves will read and say, this is not going to work for us.
Yeah.
So I think you get empowerment through knowledge. And now we, wherever we go, even went to South Africa, 300 and 300 people. So one in Durban, one in Johannesburg. Everybody knew my lecture before I even opened my mouth. Yeah. And the questions they were asking were sort of two levels up from the lecture. So then I think our people have just been so empowered by knowledge that it's hard to dupe them now.
Because, I mean, we both went to the same school.
We did.
Yeah. We are from the UK.
Yeah.
We are based in the West, and it's Western beauty standards which dominate, especially the UK market, but generally the global skincare industry. Why do you think that is, even though the majority of the world has skin of colour?
I can only talk from skincare perspective.
Yeah.
And that is that I think for a very long time, it was DIY in, say, India and Africa, like South Africa, Kenya. Kenya, there's big DIY. Like everything was, a lot of it was DIY skincare. And so sort of things passed down through the generations. Whereas in Europe, I think what happened is formulations started mainly, started off it really in Poland and Germany first, and then started getting exported around to the rest of the world. And then as everyone started to cotton on and realize this is more effective, it's more convenient, etc., then it started to pop up everywhere else. But to be honest, like even India, I would say it's only in the last 5 years that actives in skincare have even played any sort of role in skincare in India. So I think it's quite new, and I think it's accelerating. So I think the rest of the world will take over, because what you see is you have first your first mover advantage, but then after that you have innovation. And it's like, who's the fastest to iterate? So I think that's what we're seeing around the rest of the world now.
Speaking of innovation, there's a lot of collagen on the market. Mm. So supplements, drinks.
Topical.
there's so much.
Yeah.
Can you talk me through, like an absolute rookie like me, when it comes to collagen?
What is it?
Does it work? And also there's a rumor that I heard that when you take collagen, it makes your body cling to fat more,
which is partly why I haven't taken it. You're naturally 80% of your skin, hair, nails, joints is collagen. So if it was going to cling to fat, it would have done so already.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So that's not true. So what it is when you consume it, there are different types of collagen. So we've got marine collagen and bovine collagen are your main two types. I prefer marine collagen, so from fish, because you have higher bioavailability than bovine
and
collagen.
And is it sustainable?
Yes, you have to get ones that are sustainably sourced. So the collagen we manufacture is under the stewardship, so it's sustainably sourced. When you go to different parts of the world, it's not the same. So you do want to see where your collagen is coming from, because this also means you're getting higher quality collagen. Then you want to look at how many grams of collagen you're getting. So if you've seen those gummies, for example, if you weigh a gummy, it's only about a gram. You're getting about half a gram of collagen. We want about 8 grams of collagen.
Everybody, just generally
daily,
eight.
Daily, yeah. Okay. So like even now, this is like my collagen. Like every day I drink 8 grams of collagen, but I put it into water. So you want your marine collagen. And then what I would say is you can go for powders and gels. Both are fine and both are equally good. You ideally want vitamin C with it. So vitamin C helps you to actually manufacture the collagen. So what happens is you drink it, it gets separated and broken down in your stomach and then gets absorbed into the bloodstream as amino acids. What it does is it triggers your fibroblasts to produce more collagen. It almost tricks your fibroblasts to go, hold on, why am I breaking down so much collagen? Like I need to start making more collagen. And the amino acids are sitting right there ready to manufacture the collagen. So that's how it works. It's not that you drink it and it goes straight to wherever it needs to go.
You need the vitamin C with it.
Vitamin C with it. So you can even have it and drink vitamin C, have an orange glass of orange juice if you want. I tend to not like that. It has a lot of sugar in it. That's why I put the vitamin C into the actual collagen itself. But there are other actives, for example, like zinc, like selenium, which will help with hyperpigmentation. Copper helps with hyperpigmentation. So what I did with the collagen boost is I put in anti-pigmentation supplements into the collagen boost as well, because there's no way I'm going to sit there taking all the tablets of everything. So I made that for someone like me who is 41 years old, getting hyperpigmentation, and want everything convenient, like all together in one.
Go.
Yeah, so that's how I did it. The other mistake people make is topical collagen. you can't penetrate, collagen doesn't penetrate topically. When you put it on the skin, it's just a humectant. It's like glycerin. So it's a beautiful humectant. Mm. I love it, but just don't get confused and think it's boosting collagen.
Okay. One of the last questions. Where do you see the future of skincare going? Are we heading towards more personalization, more science, more hype?
Oh, my dear. Okay, so do you know what? I think it's going all different directions right now. I'm looking at my daughter's generation.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking...
She's generation
alpha.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking there's going to be a whole boom there. I think we're just starting the boom for them. I'm looking at older women and thinking they have been doing DIY really for decades. And
for menopausal skin.
Postmenopausal skin. Especially skin of color. And it's actually their children teaching them, like my age teaching my mom. Well, not my mom because she knows more than I do. But generally, yeah. is my generation teaches the generation above what we learn on TikTok and what we learn on social media because they're not really on Instagram. Mm. And then our generation, I think, is trying to figure out how we do things in a way that's really simple, fast, convenient. So even the way we do our makeup is not the way someone in their 20s does their makeup. The way we want to do our makeup is in 1 minute and be out the door to drop our kids to school.
100%.
We just don't have time.
No.
So we are time poor. And so I think we're going to have skincare that's more catered to that specific concern.
Right.
So right now, for example, I'm making makeup that is actually skincare, but it's all about doing it in 1 minute. So... like we just launched our concealers, the anti-aging concealers for skin of color, and there's no brushes, there's no different things you need to do. It's literally put your finger into a fat pot because we have less fats in our skin, literally pat it on because that's what we've lost from our skin. It's got DNA enzymes in it, DNA repair enzymes. We put in vitamin C, I put in ceramides, etc., just to replace what we've lost with age. Yeah. Because again, concealers that we wear at 20 is different to the concealers we wear now. We need fats, not liquids.
Gotcha. And last thing, can we have a look in your handbag? I want to see.
I knew this was coming.
I want to see.
All right, come on then. You're going to be quite shocked, actually. So I'm going to... Actually, you guys have probably seen me with these.
Meditation.
So these are my meditation beads because obviously I'm super stressed and I need to like relax. I have my ear pods because, again, I need to listen to this on route to everything. Vaseline, everyone knows, obviously.
So Vaseline is a go-to.
Vaseline is really good. I love it. And I think petroleum jelly has had a bad rap.
That's one of
these. One of these, it's from crude oil. It's, you know, it's toxic. It's not toxic. It's highly refined. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find any crude oil in this.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic emollient, even if you want to use it around your eye area.
Okay.
This is my concealer that we have just launched. I go for medium pink. Mm. What else have I got in here? I'm actually not even 100% well right now, so we have some Strepsils. I actually have two of these.
Oh, wow. So she really loves Vaseline.
I have one for me and one for my kids.
Not
basically.
Sponsored, not
Non-sponsored,
paid.
Non-sponsored, non-paid. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I've just got some brushes in here.
Super simple, but that's because you have your skincare infused makeup. Oh, lots of crumbs in the
lots
Nature
of
Valley.
Food.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank
for those
you
tips and
for
this
having
such
me.
Interesting insight.
Oh, thank
I've
you
learned so
much.
Thanks, Peter.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure.